Blog Talk Radio.
Book. You got to get the book. You can't tell the players without a scorecard. So what's going on in this great world? Last night I did 50 Shades of Green, a little reminiscing with my Irish heritage. And tonight we're doing 50 Shades of Communism all over the land. There are more communists in the United States than there are in Russia. You don't believe that, huh? Okay. Well, you're going to learn the hard way, comrade. Yes, anybody that gets in the way will be put on the truck. So, what is Obama doing? Obama has just kicked off his biggest offensive of the war against America. It's called Operation Cover-Up. He's lost 2,400 Americans in Afghanistan, and he's got 2 years to go to beat Bush's Iraq count. Not one a dead American's name has ever been mentioned in his communist press. He hid the bodies and he classified them as NATO troops to be identified later. Then came the communist nation wrecker. Soldiers who served bravely were tried on charges of premeditated murder by officers with no combat experience. I think we need to take a look at the Pentagon and see where the clog is in the plumbing. We're going to have to check the grease trap. Then came, I said that already, a Google Sergeant Evan Vaylor and Sergeant Derek Mitchell, for starters. Both family men. I think both have two kids. I think Evan Vaylor's got a girl. I don't know what the other kid is. And then Derek Mitchell, he's a black man, and he's got two daughters. And I got a picture of him holding his daughters. He can't hold his daughters for 15 years now. Okay? And that's because political correctness has destroyed the U.S. military. It's not the same military. And never forget this, less than 1% of the nation is all that keeps you from being murdered in your bed. And you better start hugging cops and soldiers, because one day you're going to be on the road to retreat. And when you get to the George Washington Bridge with your mattress over your head and everything that you can carry, all the possessions that you have left, that's all that's going to be there between you and the enemies of the United States, including the House and the Senate. Yeah, we're in trouble. So, yeah, those families whose husbands joined to serve and protect the Constitution have been sacrificed to the communist god of war. And those families now live in poverty because their breadwinner is doing 15 years in a prison. In the same prison that a private Manley, and now a Chelsea Manning, is getting a sex change treatments. Yeah. Justice for all, right? One nation under what? Yeah. One nation under Leon Trotsky. So, having said that, I am for making Joe Biden the president. Because Joe Biden, he only follows instructions from the party of death. And if he was president, he would probably balk at orders to kill babies. Because I know, as a Democrat, where 90% of the Democrats voted to kill kids exiting the Freedom Canal by crushing their heads before they could see the light of day and not giving them anesthesia, saying, the babies don't feel pain. They don't feel pain, and we have to worry more about the global warming. Yeah. And I heard Fox tonight, I got sick. There's five people on a panel. They were all talking about their dogs. Oh, my dog is this, my dog is that. We take them to the vet every 2 weeks. That's nice, man. What about the babies? Don't babies count anymore? Oh no, we couldn't have a baby, and we got a Pomeranian. Yeah. Oh, the stock, they were talking about the stock of all the dog food and the dog medicine companies going through the roof. Yes, there's more people with dogs than there are with children. Well, when you kill 4,700 a day, odds are the dogs are going to outnumber the kids. And we were talking about Al-Qaeda's next move, ISIS' next move. I think these guys, they changed the name of the week. Which terrorist group of the week are we going to be? And I was wondering what's going to happen when they start opening up gunfire in malls. What's going to happen? How are you going to feel when you go to Macy's and the perfume counter, two GIs with machine guns? You're going to feel comfortable? Anything wrong today? What was that? Allahu Akbar? Yeah. Wait till they really make America hunker down. Never forget, they gave us a demonstration on 9/11. They took down two buildings. They came to kill 100,000. And by the grace of God, and the sacrifice of 343 firemen and everybody else that lent a hand, they only managed to kill 3,200, including 200 unborn babies who died with their pro-life mothers. And the babies were not recognized by the American government. But we can recognize people whose names we don't know coming from South America. But we can't recognize 200 unborn babies. We can't even call their families and say, hey, look, you know, your daughter died. She was with a child. If you know the sex of the baby, why don't you give her a name? And we'll have a little ceremony and we'll put the name on the wall with the mother. And if you don't know the sex of the baby, then give it a name that could be either or. But those babies don't belong up on that wall with their mother. But the communists won't let you do that. The communists are bad news. And speaking of bad news communists, I was watching Bulls and Bears with Greta, with Butner. I forget her first name. And that's a pretty nice show. And I fell in love with a Sicilian girl. And she was there. They were talking about Obama letting all these terrorists go. You know, the five that he traded for Bo Birdcall, one was the governor of two provinces. Another one was the governor of one province. Another one was the Taliban equivalent of our CIA chief. And another one was a bomb expert that wiped out an entire CIA team. And that's who Obama traded for Bo Birdcall. And if you remember, he brought his parents after he promoted Birdcall for cowardice in the face of the enemy, he made him a sergeant. He says, "Oh, you were a coward in the face of the enemy? Oh, that's good. That means you're on my side." Remember me, I led the charge at Benghazi. So I'm going to promote you to sergeant, Bo. And you know, you got a hot looking mother. I gave her an extra hug. Yeah, we got a bad president. And that's why I'm for making Biden president now. Impeachment is peachy keen. At least Biden won't kill kids. He won't leave them to die on the hospital sink. No. How selfish the Democrat communists are. So I'm watching Bulls and Bears with, is it Brenda Butner? And there's a communist college graduate who's showing off her debating skills. And she's forcing the rhino sympathizers to back down as she steals the show. You know how the communists do it. You know, the Democrats, they go to debate suffocation training. They take a deep breath and then they don't stop until talking until the show is over. That you'll notice it. It's the same. They hog all the air in the room. Meanwhile, the victims are gasping for air. So she said, and I love this communist tactic, "We're a nation of laws. We're a nation of laws." And I saw that dirtbag Cuomo on CNN saying the same thing to Judge Roy Moore. "We're a nation of laws, and the laws have to be obeyed." And Roy Moore said to this communist, Scumbaggio, he said, "Dred Scott decision became the law of the land. And it was based on a man owning a slave and could bring his slave anywhere in the country. And he's still a slave. Do you agree with that law?" He says, "We're not talking about that." Yeah. And so this girl's still playing the same routine. I didn't get her name. But man, her communist professor wearing his Mao hat and his Che Guevara T-shirt. Why would you say, oh, that's another thing that gets me. They're going after Walker because he's not a college graduate. Let me tell you something. I'll take my chances. I'll take my chances with a guy with a GED after I see what's coming out of the colleges. They're nothing but useless. They changed the law so they could live off their mothers till they're 26. 26. When I was walking the streets of New York, at 18 you could go into a bar and you could hoist a few and sing the Star Spangled Banner. And not today. They don't trust anybody under 21 to have a drink. Yeah. And you could serve your country at 17. Your parents could sign you in. Yes. But today, they smoke weed in the basement till they're 26. Then they get the, and I love the girls who get the business majors, and then they go on spring break down in New Orleans. They hang their bazooms off the balcony, and they're working for beads. They're going to be corporate heads. Yeah, what a joke. Everybody should have to sing Give Me Stout-Hearted Men at least once a day. I'm going to get it. I'm going to play it tomorrow night. Give me some men who are stout-hearted men who will fight for the right they adore. Start me with 10 who are stout-hearted men, and I'll soon give you 10,000 more. Shoulder to shoulder and boulder to boulder, they march as they go to the fore. Then there's nothing in the world can halt or mar a plan when stout-hearted men stick together man to man. I was taught that by nuns in school. My grandson was given an assignment. What was school like? Ask your grandparents in their time. And his first question was, did you eat in the lunchroom? And my wife said, we didn't have a lunchroom. Everybody went home for lunch. We all lived within 10 blocks of the school. And you know what? When they assembled you in the morning, you know, you were outside in the sidewalk, and one nun would come out and ring a bell. Well, she would have one of those hand bells, and ding, a ding, a ding, and everybody lined up, and they marched into the school. So there was only one kid whose mother worked, and he had to eat lunch with the nuns. Yeah, and that's the way it was. There was no latchkey crap. Yeah. Helicopter moms, get out of here. Come back when the lights come on. Yeah. Take your brother with you. Unbelievable. And what were the other, what classes did you have? We had religion. I got an A in religion. This right now there's communists throwing up all over the land. And we had English. We had history, American history. As a matter of fact, in the sixth grade, in my classroom, under Mother Ethelbert, we had a reenactment of the Battle of Bunker Hill. And I was assigned the role of Major Pitcairn, the British officer. And I had one line in the Battle of Bunker Hill. Disperse, ye rebels, disperse. And everybody, they turned the desks into Bunker Hill. And everybody was waiting behind the desk. And I came up and I gave my one line. Disperse, ye rebels, disperse. And the whole class jumped me, including Mother Ethelbert, and beat me up. And that was my first lesson on the American Revolution. So, yes, what else did he want to know? We had an hour for lunch. You went home. Oh, he wanted to know what was recreation time like. We had no recreation time. And we went to school. Maybe if you came home back to school early from lunch, like you had an hour, so maybe you made it. You ran up five flights of stairs and 10 blocks away, and you woofed down your lunch and you ran back. Maybe you had 20 minutes to play box ball or handball. But when the bell rang again, that was it. Recreation time, you get out at 2:30, you went home, you got into your play clothes, and you went out until till the lights came on. And that's it. And that's what life was like in the big city when we were all Americans, Black Americans, Chinese Americans, Armenian Americans, Turkish, Spanish, Caribbean Americans. We were all Americans. Nobody had driven a wedge, given us a communist wedgie. We were all Americans. And you know what? We all served our country. In my neighborhood on a weekend, It looked like an armed, not an armed camp, but a camp. Everybody, the sailors were back in for the weekend. Marines were coming home for a weekend. The Army guys, paratroopers, everybody was in the military. If you weren't in the military, there was something wrong with you. Unbelievable. And they got to bring the draft back because America's too wussy today. And a guy told me about 10 years ago, he says, this isn't the Army that you were in. He goes, you know, they got stress cards. If the sergeant gets too abusive, the little private pulls out his stress card and gets his signature. Stress card. Yeah. Unbelievable. Why do you think you get that kind of training? Because you're going to be up against people that want to kill you. And you're not going to be able to pull out your little stress card. Okay. So having said that, That girl that was on Brenda Butner's show, she was showing off for her professor. Oh, yes, we're a nation of laws. We're a nation of laws, yeah. And the laws don't apply to belligerents who are attacking the United States. Whether you're in an embassy or you're on at a sidewalk cafe, if you're an American and a guy shouts, Allah won't kill you, you got to kill him. Do not waste any time. And I'll tell you right now, if you go to the battlefield to meet the enemy, you leave him on the battlefield. You don't need to bring him in for questioning. He knows nothing. Forget about it. You meet him on the battlefield, you leave him on the battlefield. And if the AC Lulu shows up, you leave them on the battlefield too. Oh, no, we're a nation of laws. Yeah, we're a nation of laws. You mean the law to kill kids, 4,700 American babies a day? And who's getting their Social Security numbers? 4,700 illegal invaders. And that's what they're doing. They're rotating the crop. They're driving out the spirit of America, and they're replacing it with slavery. The spirit of slavery is coming back. Already we're tax slaves and tax suckers. So I say Biden for president. So sidebar to the Sicilian lady on Bulls and Bears. You are right on the money. College communists don't know from jihad. Put her on the 80th floor of the Clinton Towers on 9/11. And her last words will be, her dying words will be, kill them all. And John Stossel did a great show Saturday night. And I sent him a compliment. I hope he continues. There is a communist party in every country in the world, and they got us watching Hitler reruns. Stay the course. More anti-communist shows, and start with the colleges, then the former Democrat Party. The DNC is now the KGB, with the help of the IRS and the EPA. So, having said that, I'm going to jump to a tune. Being that we already played the war cry, I'm going to now dedicate the next tune to all the beautiful ladies who are loved. And if you're not loved by anybody, God loves you. But this is your night, this is your tune, and you're the reason for the tune. So I'm going to give you Frank Sinatra. Oh no, that's Priscilla. Let me give you Frank Sinatra. Oh, I'm doing it again. Sangrando meu coração. Here's Frank Sinatra, I Have Dreamed.
I have dreamed that your arms are lovely, and I have dreamed what a joy you'll be. I have dreamed every word you whisper when you're close, close to how you look in the glow of evening. I have dreamed and enjoyed the view. In these dreams I've loved you so that by now I know what it's like to be loved by you. I will love being loved by you. it's like to be loved by you. I will love being loved by you.
Want to hear about a saint who was a gangster? Peter Ramengol was born in Guardia del Prats, a small village in the Archdiocese of Tarragon, Spain, in 1238. He belonged to the noble house of the Barons of Rocafort, descendants of the courts of Urgell, whose ancestors are directly linked to the Counts of Barcelona and the monarchs of Aragon and Castile. Oh man, Spain was on a roll, weren't they? Despite the great care taken by his parents regarding his education, young Peter gave himself over to a life of total dissipation, vice, and caprice. That's modern-day America. Abyssus abyssum invocat. Deep calleth on deep, say the scriptures. Peter joined a gang of criminals who, pursued by justice, led the life of bandits in the mountains. Soon, young Ramengol became the leader of that gang. On account of his son's bad behavior, Arnold Ramengol de Montcada moved to the kingdom of Valencia, recently conquered from the Moors by King Jaime. This monarch had to embark on a trip to Montpellier in order to meet with the King of France on matters of interest to both crowns. To travel safely, he commissioned Arnold to go before him and rout the assailants who often robbed and killed travelers in the Pyrenees region. At the most dangerous part of the journey, the retinue of a noble Spaniard saw itself surrounded by brigands. Arnold, with his troops, rushed at them, wounding some and apprehending others. He spurred his horse forward with sword in hand and urged his men to defeat the leader of the bandits. Indeed, Arnold himself was the first to engage the leader in hand-to-hand combat. Suddenly, grief came upon both noble and brigand when they discovered their identity. Bathed in tears, Peter prostrated himself at the feet of his father, delivered his sword, and with it his heart. Filled with shame, the repentant youth retired to the Mercedarian Monastery in Barcelona. With an ardent desire to repair the injuries done to God, he became a monk in that religious order founded by St. Peter Nolasco to ransom Catholics captured by the Mohammedans. We're doing that now. Yeah. He gave such conclusive proofs of his vocation that he was received into the Mercedarian order by the venerable William de Bar, the French-born successor of the holy founder. The disorderly passions were now conquered by Peter Ramengol in religious life. He understood how to subdue them with such promptitude through penance and mortification of the senses and continual prayer that even before he reached the end of his novitiate, he had managed to subject them to the dominion of his will and reason. During the 8 years of his profession, he was entrusted with the important task of dealing directly with the ransom of captives. He carried out this function in the provinces of Spain that was still in the power of the Saracens. Nonetheless, the greatest desire was to go to Africa and become a captive for the ransom of Christians. On an expedition to the continent, he arrived in Bugia in the company of Friar William Florentino. There they ransomed 119 captives without incident. However, before departing, Friar Armengol, a learn of a prison with 18 children, who, impelled by the threats of punishment by the barbarous Mohammedans, oh, the Mohammedans were barbarous, I didn't know that, remained in danger of denying the faith. The religious happily offered himself as a hostage for the ransom of the innocent captives. His release was promised in exchange for a stipulated sum, but if the payment did not arrive within the set time, he would suffer harsh punishments. Divine providence had disposed that this man of God would thus give proof of his special confidence in the omnipotent mediation of the Blessed Virgin, to whom he was deeply devoted. In captivity, he worked prodigies of charity among the infidels, converting many into the efficacy of his preaching. The time prescribed for the delivery of the money came and passed without the money being made, with the payment being made. The infidels threw him in prison, and even, they're the infidels. I thought we were the infidels. The infidels threw him in prison and even denied the food necessary for his sustenance. But our Lord, by means of his angels, miraculously provided for his survival. Tired of tormenting him, the Moors conspired to take his life. They accused him, listen to this one, they accused him of blaspheming the Prophet Muhammad and of being a spy sent by Christian kings, thus raising the ire of the Saracen judge, who condemned Friar Peter to death by hanging. When everything seemed lost, a Friar Armengol prayed to Our Lady and confided in her. The unjust execution was carried out, and Peter's body was left hanging from the gallows. The Moors wanted his corpse to feed the birds of prey. Thus the holy man's body remained suspended. 6 days later had elapsed when Friar William arrived with the ransom money. Learning what had happened, he went with great sorrow in the company of some captives to see the lamentable sight. Reaching the site of the execution, he noticed that the body did not emit a bad odor, but rather exhaled a heavenly fragrance. To their astonishment, Friar Armengol spoke, telling them that the Blessed Mother saved his life. Astounded by this stupendous miracle, some pagans converted to the Catholic religion. Joe Biden, President Obama, learning of the portentous miracle, Barcelona impatiently awaited the return of the unconquerable martyr of Jesus Christ. In the city, they received him with great joy, escorting him from the port to his monastery, giving thanks to our Lord for his marvels. The religious wanted to hear from Friar Peter's mouth what had happened, but despite their earnest pleas, he would not speak. Finally, the superior ordered him to tell all that had occurred. Obedient, the man of God spoke. The Virgin Mary, Mother of God, and our own Mother asked her most holy Son to conserve my life. Having obtained this favor, this same sovereign queen sustained me with her most holy hands so that the weight of my body would not hang upon the rope by which I was suspended. Recalling the miracle of his hanging, he frequently told the religious of the monastery, "Believe me, my dear brothers, that I do not believe myself to have lived except those few but most happy days when hanging on the gallows." And then he died in 1304. And today the remains of St. Armengol can be found in Guardia del Prats. The small village still preserves much of its medieval character. Tortuous, narrow stones, studded streets, buildings that recall old palaces and noble residences. The body of St. Peter Armengol was preserved incorrupt until 1936. During the Spanish Civil War, however, communist marauders invaded and sacked the church, carrying off his vulnerable body, to the public square where they burned it. Some children gathered up what they could of these ashes and took the precious remains to their homes, where their mothers kept them with great care. Later, after the communists were vanquished, the precious relics were returned to the church, where they are kept in a reliquary over the main altar. Largely forgotten by progressive Catholics, in silent testimony of the sanctity of the Catholic Church and Christian civilization. So, now you just learned about a gangster that became a saint. Now, did I bore you? Let me give you a tune. Do we want to go, you know what? We will do an Irish tune. We'll do a little bit more of the 50 Shades of Green. And this tune you're going to like. This is like a plague tune that if anybody ever hears that they're in a pub with no beer, it's the end of the world.
By the campfire at night, where the wild dingoes call. But there's nothing so lonesome, so dull or so drear, than to stand in the bar of a pub with no beer. Now the public is anxious for the quota to come. There's a faraway look on the face of the bum. The maid's gone all cranky and the cook's acting queer. Well, a terrible place is a pub with no beer. The stockman rides up with his dry, dusty throat. He breasts up to the bar, pulls a wad from his coat. But the smile on his face quickly turns to a sneer when the barman says sadly, the pub's got no beer. For his master he waits, but the boss is inside drinking wine with his mates. He hurries for cover and he cringes in fear. There's no place for a dog round a pub with no beer. Oh, Billy the blacksmith, the first time in his life, has gone home cold sober to his darling wife. He walks in the kitchen, she says, you're ready, me dear. Then he breaks down and he tells her that the pub's got no beer. Oh, she lonesome away from your kindred and all, by the campfire at night, where the wild dingoes call. But there's nothing so lonesome, so dull or so drear, as to stand in the bar of a pub with no beer.
It's amazing listening to that college communist demanding rights for terrorists. And I flash back to 9-1-1, seeing smoke rising from where I was, and thinking it was like a Piper Cub crash into the building, only to learn later on it was two jetliners. And the communists are very clever, and there is Lamo Leninists are very clever. The attack was to drive the economy of the country down too. And if you remember how successful these Muslim terrorists are, they put TWA out of business with a bomb. And they shot that Navy pilot, Robert Stethem, when they hijacked that TWA flight. And they beat him and tortured him before they shot him and threw him out the door onto the tarmac. For that alone, we should have wiped out at least two cities. And then they put Pan Am out of business with the Lockerbie flight. And they carefully selected American Airlines and U.S. Air as the next two American targets to be destroyed. And these people are very clever, and they're very devious. They usually have more than one goal. And I'm really concerned that when they start to open up in the malls, how much they're going to affect the economy. And it's a wonder that they haven't done it already. But everybody seems to see them coming now that Obama has let them out of prison. And also that they can have small cells operating and already here in the United States. And then the question is going to become, should we round up everybody? The protection of the American people. Oh, he's a citizen. No, he's not. You got two passports, you're going to have to pick one. No, he's a citizen. He's an American citizen. I remember when the Israelis went into Lebanon and the communist media was shouting, The Israelis are in Lebanon, and there's 10,000 Americans trapped in Tyre. And I turned on the TV. All 10,000 were wearing burkas. No, if you're an American, you got to show us you're an American. We don't want to hear you got papers. My dog has papers. Obama administration stalled ISIS rescue for American hostages, causing their deaths. They stalled on Benghazi. They left those guys to die. I wonder who hung up the phone as they begged for help. Obama gave bin Laden 4 months to escape. This guy tried to kill 100,000 Americans on a Monday, on a sunny Monday. He tried to kill 100,000, and thanks to the bravery of 343 firemen plus and all the other EMT workers who showed up to try and save as many as possible. And we weren't prepared at all. Do you know there are parachutes that open at 100 feet? You can jump out a window 100 feet up with a parachute, and maybe the most you'll get are two broken legs. If you get that. A cargo net? We had nothing. They have stuntmen that can jump out 20 to 30 stories into a pillow. We had nothing. We didn't even have water to put the fire out. Yet the Hudson River was on one side and the Harlem River was on the other side. And we didn't have a firefighting helicopter with a bucket. We weren't ready then. We're not ready now. And I'll tell you why we're not ready. Because the government knows there's going to be casualties and there's nothing they can do about it. So rather than waste the money or train, they're just going to write it off. You'll be the casualty. Now, in the past, the United States has been able to take the first hit and recover. We will not recover from the first hit of World War III. We will have to block that punch and immediately retaliate. If we can't do that, we're in trouble. And George Patton said twice in his lifetime he's seen the United States come from behind. And he doubted if we could do it in a world of nuclear weapons and missiles. So Obama stalled ISIS rescue for American hostages, causing their deaths. This is by Jamie Detmer and Shane Harris. The United States, and the 4 months to get bin Laden, after watching the horror and the sorrow. And let me tell you, if you were an American in this country, you never saw America go down on one knee before. This was the first. This was the greatest military defeat in the history of the United States. And the cover-up Pentagonians, everybody had their excuse. Everybody had a story to tell, but they all dropped the ball. Intelligence dropped the ball. Everybody dropped the ball. and knowing those people jumped out of windows and were burned alive, and there was no trace of their bodies. There's 1,000 legs at the morgue. Still, nobody had a chance. Young girls died. In my church, there's 47 names on an American flag of the victims. Most of the firemen. As a matter of fact, there's one guy who survived the Beirut barracks bombing. His name is Chapula. He survived the Beirut barracks bombing when the Iranians killed unarmed Marines in their sleep. Just because you use the title a peacekeeper, that doesn't mean you're not going to get killed. They kill doctors and nurses, these people. They kill aid workers, these people. These people are 7th century primitives. And they're all doing it for their religion. And I'm tired of Americans who are not Muslim defining the Muslim religion. It's a religion of peace. It's been hijacked by radical Muslims. No. The word radical is not in the Arab dictionary. There's no such word as radical. There is one God. His name is Allah, and he never had a son. There is one book. It is called the Quran. And nothing changes in it. And the Shahadi is a martyr. They call them martyrs, and the reason they call them martyrs is they die for Allah, and they're revered, and their families are taken care of. So when you hear some jerk, Democrat jerk or Republican jerk, defining Islam, they don't know Shiite from Shinola. They're an accomplice to murder. They're making it easy to put the knife in. There's all those Shahadis, all those martyrs, they went to paradise right after they killed whoever they killed. They get the 72 virgins, and now they're getting 80 with the coupon. So don't let these jerks, these college professors, college communists, tell you that there's more than one Muslim religion. British officials, as well as private security contractors, said they were frustrated by Washington's hesitance to give the go-ahead for a rescue attempt, which eventually was carried out on July the 4th, 2014. What is this guy doing, waiting for a holiday to take some credit? And you know, the four French hostages got released. Did you know that? By that time, the hostages had been moved. Toward the end of May, the British government had identified two or three locations in and around the Syrian city of Raqqa, the de facto capital of the so-called Islamic State. I think we got to bring back the neutron bomb. I think it should be part of our arsenal of weapons. This way the city of Raqqa stays, but everybody goes. The buildings are all intact, but everybody's gone. And then we can do the scene from, not The Godfather, but that other one when Joe Pesci was going to be made, and he went to get made, and they killed him. And the other guy, and De Niro calls up and goes, well, where is he? He's gone. He's gone. And there's nothing we could do about it. And that Sicilian lady that works with Brenda Butner, she is a sweetheart. She knows what the enemy is like, and she knows how to deal with them. She says, let them rot in Gitmo. Okay, so what else we got here? But the British were not absolutely sure in which location the Westerners were held. You want to know what I believe? I believe it's time we got to modernize our military, and we got to gear up to fight this new jihad-style warfare. And I believe that we need an entire division. How many men in a division? 12,000? We need an entire division, totally self-sufficient, all SEAL trained, that can go into an area and cordon it off and kill everybody inside the circle and get out. Hit hard, quick, and get out. And then when we call and say, where are those terrorists? Oh, they're gone. They're gone, and there's nothing we could do about it. Well, the ACLU wants to represent them. Well, they're gone. They're gone. There's nothing we can do about it. Yeah. Okay. In the early June, London had a positive identification, and that information was shared with Washington. Let me tell you, I wouldn't share nothing with Washington. If I wouldn't share intelligence with Washington, because Washington is giving it to Al-Qaeda. Yeah. Do you know what Obama and the State Department allegedly did? Israel was getting ready to plan a bombing run on all the nuclear facilities. And they made a deal with Azerbaijan on the other side of Iran that their bombers could land and refuel. And the State Department found out about it, and they tipped off the Iranians. How's that? You don't think this president is letting Americans die for Islam, do you? That would be a horrible thought, wouldn't it? You don't think he'd leave 350 Marines as a gift to ISIS, do you? That would be a horrible thought, wouldn't it? Whose side is he on? So, here's another story. ISIS is threatening military spouses on Twitter. I told you that Jimmy from Brooklyn told me about 10 years ago in the West, in the Midwest or the West or somewhere, there were, I don't know if they were Russians or Muslims, who were taking jobs as delivery boys and going to houses, you know, like delivering a pizza and seeing a military picture on the mantle and making a note, especially if they were pilots from the nearby Air Force base. And the theory was it's better to kill them at home than let them get in a plane. So I hope we're up for the game, because this game is going to get real nasty. A group claiming to be affiliated with the ISIS militant group hacked the Military Spouses of Strength Twitter account Tuesday morning and sent threats to a group of military spouses on Twitter and Facebook. The group calls themselves the Gasper Cyber Caliphate Suds and claim to be aligned with the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. Yeah, the more I think about it, the more I like the neutron bomb. Pursuing a cyber jihad, members of the group took over the Twitter account for Military Spouses of Strength, replaced the profile photo, and sent the threatening messages to the spouses using their full names. The same cyber terrorism group, which said it is associated with the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, ISIS, hacked U.S. Central Command's YouTube and Twitter accounts in January. Newsweek officials have also said the group hacked its Twitter feed on Tuesday. The cyber terrorism group listed the military spouse's full name on Twitter, followed by the message, "You think you're safe because the IS is already here. Cyber Caliphate got into your PC and smartphone." How's that? 911 victim sister, I think her name is Burlingame. Her first name? It might be Deborah. She says Obama has abandoned the American people, especially the victims of 911. We're on our own in this fight against Islamic terrorism. Here's one. ISIS disfigures the face of 15 women with acid by Sam Smith. The Islamic State policing unit in Mosul severely disfigured the faces of 15 Iraqi women. And they show you the women, and they're Christian women, it might be. They're all chained together. By pouring acid on them as a form of punishment after the women were caught without their faces being veiled and appropriately by ISIS standards. I'm going to give you a tune. And I'm going to take that call.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat." And I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it write and say, 'Can you see?' And it got a bad rip in New Orleans, with Packenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo, beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare, and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. She's been through the fire before, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, we take her down every night, we don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her up right. On second thought, I do like to brag, 'cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
June. Another sunny honeymoon. Another season. Another reason to make movies. A lot of shoes. A lot of rice. Groom is nervous. Ah, he answers twice. It's really killing. The boy's so willing to make whoopee whoopee. Picture a little loveliness, yeah. Down where the roses cling. Picture that same sweet loveliness. See what a year can bring. I tell you, the boys washing dishes, baby clothes. He's so ambitious. Ooh, I tell you, he's so. It's really killing. The boy's so willing to make whoopee whoopee. You see, I don't make much money. Only $5,000 pounds. And some judge who thinks he's funny tells me I've got to pay $6,000 to her. I said, now judge, suppose I fail. The judge says, Ray, son, son, right on in the jail. You better keep her. I think it's cheaper. You know what I've been doing, don't you?
Remember. Robin. Slow rockin' Robin, cause we're really gonna rock 'em tonight. Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree. The wise or loud, the big black crow, flap of their wings, sing and go, bird, go. Rockin' Robin, rockin' Robin. Slow rockin' Robin, cause we're really gonna rock 'em tonight. Slow. And this was grand. They started going steady and bless my soul. He out popped the buzzard and the Oreo. He rocks in the treetop all the day long, popping and a popping and a singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, rock, 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 rockin' Robin. Slow rockin' Robin, cause we're really gonna rock tonight. Well, the pretty little raven at the bread man's stand tossed him out to the pop and it was grand. They started going steady and blessed my soul. He out popped the buzzard and the Oreo. He rocked in the treetop all the day long, hopping and a bopping and a singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, rock, rock, rockin' Robin. Slow rockin' Robin, cause we're really gonna rock
Sorry that I broke away for about 8 songs there. I had to take a phone call from Jimmy from Brooklyn. I don't like to not take his phone calls. He says there's a book and a film coming out called Hollywood Traitors. I think it's early Hollywood. And there's one name mentioned, Dalton Trumbull. We were talking about John Stossel's look at communism in Russia. And I'm reminded of what one Russian once said about how he described communism. We pretend to work and they pretend to pay us. That's a pretty good analogy, huh? Jimmy's biggest lamentation is that we were conned by the communists for 25 years. Everybody thought that communism had collapsed, and we gave them a 25-year head start, and now we're going to start playing catch-up. He says you can go back to Reagan when he couldn't even get money to aid the Contras. That's how long the communist influence has been. I honestly believe the Democrat Party is now the Communist Party. I do believe deeply that this president is a communist and hates this country. And worse than this country, he hates, of all the military branches, he hates the Marine Corps the most. Or as he says, the Marine Corps. It is really sad. We are all going to get a very bad wake-up. Jimmy described the wake-up to D-Day. And he said, just imagine you're Germans and you're stationed in one of those bunkers and you look out on the ocean and there's a slight image of a ship. And then the next time you look, there's 6,000 ships. He says, that's how we're going to feel when we get the shock of our lives. So, and he's mentioned the fact that there's a scandal that's rocking Fox, and it has to do with the investment made by Prince Waleed bin Talal. It is now being mentioned by James Rosen, a Fox reporter, that Waleed bin Talal supported al-Qaeda with money. That would be sad to learn. That would be sad to learn. And I would say the odds of that being true, 60-40, that it is true. Okay, so we won't be able to sing a Salam Apostle Fina, which means peace at last, but we'll play it, and then I'll close with the Star Spangled Banner.
Pero un ángel trataría de comer.
Okay, we're going to sign off. I hope to give you more tonight. We'll have to make it up tomorrow night. Keep God in your prayers. And remember that the Spirit of America Party, Spirit of America, is in you. And you are different than anybody else in the world. Beware of communists who tell you Europe does it better. Europe does it not so good. America has always been for Americans, and that's the way we got to stay. We're a cut different from a patriotic cloth. We don't sell out. And anybody who sells us out is our enemy. I'm going to play you the tune that was originally recorded by the cast of World War II. There's 47 scratches in this vinyl record. Each scratch represents 8,000 Americans who died during World War II. Do you know that the missing in action, the highest figure is from World War II? I think it's 77,000. God knows what happened to them. Have a nice night.